The book of Matthew, we're going to look at Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. As you're finding your place there, I was looking through the song book, and I don't think the words are in this one. But there's a little chorus that we sing sometimes with a student, and it says, I have decided to follow Jesus. And we repeat that several times. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. That's kind of what has been on my mind as we begin this week. Now, we'll have, this is only the first of a total of 6 services that we're going to have. We'll be having special service each afternoon this week, speakers coming in, and then one on Friday in the morning. And Spiritual Emphasis Week is what we're calling it. But I thought to start the night out, I wanted to look at the thought and think about this, following Jesus and following the Lord. The book of Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 19, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, were the words of the Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we're asking that you would help us. We're praying, Lord, that you would empower us. We pray the word of God would find its lodging place in our hearts today. Lord, speak to every heart, and Lord, bless this school year, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. Thank you very much, and please be seated. I've come to the realization through the years, everybody is following somebody or something. Did you know that? Everybody's following something. Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Everybody follows something. It's just in us. We're sheep, and so we're followers by nature. It's amazing when you watch the cultures, the different cultures. There are people that follow things, and they are religious about it. A lot of times you can find out what people follow by following their vehicle. And you can see what they follow. Because a lot of times it'll be all over the back glass. I got in the car wash yesterday, and we knew who it was, but I got behind a fella. There ain't no doubt he's a follower of hunting. Because they were hunting decals and bows and guns and all of these different things all over the back of this truck. It would just look like a billboard. At first when I saw it, I thought maybe that it was, somebody that sold equipment or somebody that, worked for somebody that sold. I didn't know what it was, but I got to looking, and it was just one of the boys, but he is wild about hunting. And it shows on the back of his truck, and he follows that apparently. I get tickled to watch these folks that follow racing. And buddy, they got their favorite race car driver tattooed on the back window of their car. And they got a tag on the front, and they got a thing on the back. And boy, they buy all the paraphernalia, and they got this and this and this number and this number and this number. And then that driver changes teams and changes colors and changes cars and changes numbers. And you got to throw all that away and start over again. I think they do that on purpose. I think it's to get you to buy more stuff. I really do. And so I think that's what that's about. You see people who, a lot of times, especially here in the mountains, you see people who follow biking. They're bicyclists, and they have a bicycle rack on top of their Subaru and all the decals to go with it. And then, and somebody that's a kayaker, and kayakers, they're something. And I saw one the other day, instead of "we still pray," it said "we still paddle." Had a paddle on both, paddle it up. We still paddle. And they're paddlers. Everybody go paddling. They don't call it kayaking, they call it paddling, going paddling. And boy, they are something. We used to go over to Nantahala and stay on the side of the river there in the fall of the year. It'd be so cold, we'd be sitting out by the fire, covered up, big fire going. We'd have a blanket, have a hooded sweatshirt on, be sitting there just shivering. And here come the kayakers down to Nantahala. And I'm thinking to myself, that's what you call dedication. Because where I freeze to death, sitting around the fire and here they are kayaking. Now you got to want a kayak awful bad to get in that cold river and it cold like that. That can't be something about that just not appealing to me, But boy, they love it. They're just crazy about it. What can I say with that sort of fervency? The Scripture teaches that we ought to be following the Savior. Amen? We ought to be following the Savior. I'm not saying that you necessarily have to have stickers all over the back of your car, but I can say this. when the type of dedication that I'm talking about and that the Scripture talk about, it's not something that you just do as a hobby when you feel like it. It's not something that you just do on occasion. Christmas morning and Easter morning. It's not just something that you do twice a year. Some people's religion, that's as far as it takes them. I mean, like Brill Cream, a little dab will do you. They only have to come to church every now and then. You know, funerals, weddings, Christmas and Easter, and they're good. And they don't need any the rest of the time. Well, what I'm talking about, again, it'll cause you to, just like those kayakers, it'll cause you to get up and come to church when it's cold. And it'll cause you to get up and come when it's hot. It'll cause you to come when it's raining and come when it's not. Didn't mean for that to rhyme. And it's something that'll get you beyond the circumstances and get you to the house of God. Somebody said the other day, said that, they weren't feeling well. I said, well, I said, hey, you need to come to our church. And they looked at me right funny. I said, look, if you feel like you're going to have something go wrong, our church is one of the safest places to be anywhere around. I said, we got nurses, EMTs, man, we got people that teach it. We got, you name it, we got it. I mean, they just stand in line to get to work on you around our place. Matter of fact, sometimes I think that they pray something will happen, so they all get to work on you. Get out of church, I'm not sure. But, it takes some dedication to be involved in that sort of thing. May I say it takes some dedication to serve the Lord and to follow Him. And I'm thinking along the line of when you follow the Lord, oftentimes you have to forsake other things. Scripture says you can't serve God and mammon. And so it's a choice. And it's a choice you have to make. You know, back in high school, you could play baseball or you could go out for track, but you couldn't do both. You had to make a decision. And you say, well, I know people that played a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football. Well, there were a few that could do that, and the season sometimes would cross over somewhat. But for the most part, with the exception of a few exceptional athletes, you needed to pick your sport and you needed to immerse yourself in it and get good at it in order to accomplish and be what you needed to be. You had to make a decision, and sometimes it's a tough decision. Can I say to you young people and students here today, it's a tough decision to follow Jesus. And it's a tough decision to forsake all the things that are pulling at you. And there's stuff pulling at you right and left. You don't even realize that the commercials on television, they're pulling at you to dress this way and act this way and listen to that and to drink this and to do this and to go here and to do yonder. Hey, because the young people are a multi-million-dollar industry. And it's not because they like you or love you or respect you. It's because they want your money. That's what it's about. They want your money. So many young people start falling and following after those things and fall right in lockstep and right in line. But what I want to ask you is, would you be willing to step out of line? Would you be willing to separate yourself from the majority, to separate yourself from the masses? Would you dare to be different, dare to be a Daniel and say, nope, I'm not going like everybody else is going. I'm not going where they're going. I'm not going like they're going. I am going instead to follow the Lord. I'm going to follow Jesus. Well, can I say it'll cost you? I want you to understand right straight up front, it's expensive. It will cost you to follow the Lord, at least initially, or at least it seems like it will. But man, the dividends, they're unbelievable when you do and when you make that decision. I think about Elisha. We don't know much about Elisha. He comes on the scene. Elijah is up on the Mount of Horeb and he's with God, and God calls his name. God knows who he is. And he says, you go anoint Elisha as a prophet in thy stead. And so we find in the book of 1 Kings 19 that Elijah did exactly what he was told to do, and he found Elisha and he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. And the scripture says Elijah passed by and throwed his mantle on him. Now, if you've got one oxen, you're a farmer. If you've got two oxen, you're a successful farmer. But if you've got 12 oxen, you're a commercial farmer. I mean, that's big stuff. If you have got 12 oxen, and it's hard to know if he was plowing with all of them or if he had other people working for him and they were plowing. But nevertheless, can you imagine the size of the plow that he would have pulling? I mean, I've been up in Amish country and I've seen them with a 7-up team. They'll have 6 horses across and they'll have 1 lead horse out front and reins only on the front one. And those Amish will pull turning plows, subsoiling plows. It looked like something you pull behind a large 4-wheel drive tractor. I'm talking about a set of harrows or a set of plows. You couldn't believe the size that a team of those horses can pull. Amazing. You think about an Amish is just crossing the field with one little horse back and forth, back. Not there, nah-huh. No. I'm talking about plowing a big old swath as they go. Well, can you imagine instead of horses having oxen, having steers, and 12 of them? In other words, he was a successful farmer. And he apparently had a very bright career because he was a fairly young man. And he was plowing and he was farming. And no doubt with 12 oxen, you had to have a lot of land to till. And so he had done all the right things. He had dedicated himself and he had followed farming. No doubt about it. But the call came one day, instead of following farming, to follow the Lord. And the scripture says that he took the oxen and he sacrificed it. And he killed it and he cooked it. He took the plows that had been used to plow with and he used them to kindle with. He used them to make the fire with. And he went out of business, if you will, and went and decided to follow the Lord. Now, can I say that if he had stayed in business, there ain't no telling how much money he'd have made. There ain't no telling how much land he'd have acquired, and no telling how much, you know, eventually he'd have come up with. The thing about it is, you and I would have never known his name. None of that would have been survived today. But had he continued to follow farming, he never would have raised the dead. He never would have seen miracles. As a matter of fact, he did exactly twice as many miracles as his predecessor Elijah did. I mean, Elijah is one of the most blessed men in the world because he got to go to heaven in a fiery chariot. But can I say one of the most blessed men in the world was Elisha because he was standing there and got to watch him. And not only did he get to watch him, he got to catch the mantle that fell down from heaven. No, there's only been a handful of men walk across the Jordan on dry ground, and Elisha was one of them. What I'm telling you is he got to experience things, see things, do things for the glory of God, and he goes down in history as being one of the great prophets of all time because he chose to forsake his farming and to follow the Lord and the prophet of God. So here's what I see: a farming career was given up to follow the Lord. But then in our passage, I see a fishing career. Now I know a lot of boys, when they're about 12 years old, that's what they want to be, professional fishermen. But they want to catch them one at a time, you know. They want to be like them people on TV that are professional fishermen that take a camera out and whisper. I don't know why they always whisper. Can fish hear? Because they always whisper in the microphone and we're going up in the weeds and there's a big bass lives under here and we're using this pound test and we're doing this okay, just throw it right in there, yeah, okay, here comes, whoa, we almost got it, I missed him. Do I sound like I've been on one of the programs? I know people especially when about 10, 12 years old, I know fellas that want to be professional deer hunters, professional fishermen. I mean, that's their hope. That's what they want to do. They want to be on or they want to be professional sports. They want to be NFL. They want to be NBA. They want to be NBA. They want to be something. I mean, they want to play for a living. That's pretty good work if you can get it, if you can play for a living. Well, these fellas, they weren't just play fishing. They were net fishing. This was hard, dirty work. But apparently they were pretty good at it. The Bible says in Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, Matthew 14:18, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets, and look what the scripture says, and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two brethren, James and the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee of their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father, and look what the scripture says, and followed him. Well, can I say that Peter, James, and John went on to be the inner circle? The Peter, James, and John, I mean, they went on. Listen, they gave up their career as professional fishermen. But oh, they got to do something much greater. Peter, James, and John got to see the Lord Jesus in his transfiguration. They got to see Moses and Elijah bodily standing on the mount. They got to see him. They were there. See him and talk to him. Sure did. But beyond that, they got to travel and go, and they got to see the lame walk. They got to see blinded eyes open. They got to see demons cast out. They got to see miracle after miracle after miracle. They got to see the miracles of the Savior, but they also got to perform miracles themselves. The Bible says they did. They themselves performed miracles, and they went throughout the land. And just as the Savior said, they got to be fishers of men. And Simon Peter on Acts chapter number 2, he was given the keys of the church. He got to cut the ribbon, if you will, on the day of Pentecost. And he saw 3,000 folks get saved from one message that he preached in the very first day. What are you trying to say, preacher? What I'm saying is, yeah, he may have given up a career fishing, but my soul. Hey, had he stayed a fisherman, we'd have never known anything about him. But their names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life and in the Scripture for our admonition, because they forsook their vocation to follow the Lord. Somebody said, preacher, do you always have to forsake your vocation? Well, not necessarily. If you've got a vocation, that's fine. But if a vocation's got you, now you got a problem. Kind of like a hobby. If you got a hobby, that ain't no problem. But if a hobby's got you, that's a problem. Always has been. And so you can use your vocation for the Lord. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that there were folks in the Scripture that they were willing to make the hard choices and to make the hard decisions and to give up some things that were looked pretty sure in their future for some things that were very unsure. But that's part of it. I think about the Lord Jesus in the book of Luke chapter number 19. Actually, there's two different accounts, but in the Luke chapter number 5, we'll start there. The Bible said that Matthew, he was a publican, his name was Levi, and he was sitting in the receipt of custom, and the Lord walked by. Now, he was a hated man because he had a government job, and he was a tax collector, and everybody hated him. I mean, they hated him, but he had a good job. He was making good money. And the bad part of it is, the way it worked in those days, they could pretty well charge you whatever they wanted to. There was no set way to do it. And so they kind of, you know, skimmed off the top and got what they wanted to and give the government some, and they kept the rest. The Lord Jesus walked by his little old booth and said, follow me. And the scripture says, Luke 5:28, and he left all, rose up, and followed him. On forward, 14 chapters in the book of Luke, chapter number 19. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus. You know the story. He was little of stature, so he climbed up in a sycamore tree to see the Lord Jesus. And Jesus walked by, looked at him, and said, come down, I'm going to your house. And so he did come down, and the Lord did go to his house. And you know what he said? He said, Lord, I'm going to restore and repay everything that I've done that's wrong. And I'm willing to give up all of my riches to make it right, because I want to follow you and I want to do what's right. Do you understand that both of these men gave up financial careers in the tax business, careers in government jobs. They both gave up a financial career, a career in finance, in order to follow the Savior, to follow the Lord. Well, I think about also not only those that gave up farming careers and fishing careers and financial careers. We don't. I'm looking here and sharing. The Bible doesn't say a whole lot about it. It doesn't give us a lot of detail. But in Acts chapter number 16, the Bible tells us a young man by the name of Timothy. He's also called Timotheus. And the Bible says that his mother was a Jewish, but his dad was a Greek. And the Scripture says that he apparently had gotten saved on the first missionary journey the Apostle Paul went on. And there had been a problem between Barnabas and the Apostle Paul, and so young John Mark wasn't on this trip. But they went back to Derbe and Lystra. And this was a place where there had been problems in time past, but they went back there. And Paul chose Timotheus to go with him and to be his right-hand man. Now, I want you to think about this. Typically, in the Jewish life as well as Greek life, you pretty well did what your dad did. It wasn't like that today where you had a choice. You go to college and you would take 2 years general courses, and then in your third year you would decide what your major was going to be. That was not the way it worked. Whatever you were in your career was pretty well forged by what your father was. And you became an apprentice to your dad, and you had your home training, and then you had your formal training, and at 20 years old you entered into an apprenticeship, and you worked as an apprentice under your dad from the time you were 20 to the time you were 30. And when you turned 30 years old, you ceased to be an apprentice and you became a master craftsman or whatever it was. And then you worked up until you were probably about 50, and at 50 you became a teacher and you started taking apprentices under yourself and training them. And so, I don't know, the Bible doesn't say what Timothy's daddy did for a living. Doesn't tell us. But chances are, he had some sort of family business, something that he had lined up for his boy to do, and he had already figured out, I want young Timothy to be this. And yet the Lord came through in with the Apostle Paul, the Lord in His Spirit saved Timothy, and then called Timothy, and so Timothy forsook, if you will, his father's career, whatever it was, the family career, whatever it might have been. I know folks that have done that. They have had a nice setup. Their family had been in business, or their family had been, you know, in this or that for years, and it was just assumed that they would follow in the footsteps, only to have the son come up and say, Mom, Dad, I appreciate it, I love you, but God's not pleased with me going into the family business. God's called me to be a missionary to China. God's called me to be a missionary to Africa. God's called me to be an evangelist. God's called me to be a preacher. God's called me to do this or this or this. Can I say, you'd have to step down to take over the band, be the CEO of the family business from the high calling of God. Then I see one more in Acts chapter number 10, or Acts chapter number 16, verse number 10. Up until this time, the whole book of Acts is written them and they. It's written by someone standing on the outside looking in. Them and they. But in Acts chapter number 16 and in verse number 10, something changes. It goes from being them and they. The Bible says that he, after he had seen the vision, immediately we. Something changes there. In that comma, something changed. What was it? That's when Dr. Luke signed on board. Because Dr. Luke is the one holding the pen. Up until that time, it had been them. And he, and them. And all the first 16 chapters was they, them, he, and him. But from this point forward, it's we and us. Because Luke's on board, he's with them. Now, he's a physician. We know Dr. Luke is. We don't know exactly the plan. Was he a doctor? Did he have an office? Did he see patients? I mean, was he a surgeon? What What did he do? We don't know exactly. As a matter of fact, we're just now finding out how advanced some of their medical techniques were 2,000 years ago. We think about that being the Stone Age, but to be honest with you, we're finding relics and some of the excavations, we're finding things that's pretty amazing. And they were doing things we didn't know they could do back in those days. But nevertheless, it had to be just like today. It was a lucrative career. And no doubt that Dr. Luke left his career as a physician to follow the Lord and to stay with the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul became sick. But not only did he just go as a physician, but the Scripture says, "For the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." He includes himself in that collective pronoun. He said, God had called us. What I'm saying is, he left the career as a physician in exchange for the career of an itinerant evangelist and a missionary. Did he still doctor? Obviously he did. He took care of Paul. Maybe took care of some other folks along the way. And maybe the ones that the Apostle Paul couldn't heal, Luke would have a clinic and work on them too. Bible don't say, but I do know this. He was willing to use his talents for the glory and honor of God. But I want you to understand, following Jesus, it don't cost, it pays. Did you realize that the book of Acts and the book of Luke, Dr. Luke wrote? We wouldn't have that had he not decided to follow Jesus. But you know, there's some people in Scripture that didn't follow the Lord. There was a young man who said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord said, well, this is what you got to do, keep the commandments. And he said, yep, I've kept them from my youth up. And when the Lord heard that, he said unto him, yet thou lackest one thing, sell all that thou hast, distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, there's these words, follow me. And the Bible says the young man went away sorrowful because he had much riches. So there are some that decide not to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. There are some don't ever start. Rich young ruler, he decided never to follow the Lord. He was given an invitation just like everybody else was, but he made the choice, nope, not happening. But then there were some, they started out on the journey. The Bible says in Colossians 4, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. And so Luke and Demas are mentioned equally. They're on same footing, same standing, right beside the Apostle Paul, right-hand men. But you know what the Scripture goes on to tell us in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, one of the saddest verses in the Bible. The Bible says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Demas made a decision. He said, it ain't worth it. It's costing me too much. I'm not willing to pay this kind of price. I want to follow the world. I want to follow my ambitions. I want to follow me and mine. And I'm tired of following God. What a sad phrase. And you know, I've noticed that there are not too many children. A lot of people name their kids Luke. There's a lot of people that name their kids Peter and Andrew and James and John, Matthew. Know a few Zacchaeus, there's not too many, but I know a couple of Elishas. But I don't recall hearing anybody name their young'uns Demas, because that name's got a negative connotation on it. Always will have. Just like there are not too many people name their kids Judas because of what it represents. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm simply saying this. When the books of life are closed, how will we be remembered? How will you be remembered? You know, there was a time that I was in Duke Power and I had a good job making a good living. But you know what I found out? I would have retired last year. I'd have left. I'd have been retired by now. I'd have retired last year. And I know people that hired on when I did that have retired. And you know what they did when they retired? They've even cut out the big suppers. It used to be a big deal when somebody retired. They've even cut those out. Money's so tight that they've cut out, and they just have a little thing, and you get a little formal thing, and you're done. 30 years, and now you're just a number. And now you end up having to fight with them over your retirement, fight with them over your medical, fight with them over your insurance. Matter of fact, a fellow told me the other day that this matching funds, you know how they matched your funds, and you'd put so much out of your check, and they would match it with so much? I was told recently that they took it away, that the company has taken the matching funds away. And for some people that had many years, it was hundreds of thousands of dollars. There's a lawsuit right now. I can't imagine being in a lawsuit with my former employer right now because half of everything that I'd saved, they took away. What are you trying to say, preacher? You say, well, preacher, you ain't got hundreds of thousands in retirement, and you're past retirement age, and you don't have any of that. So you're worse off. Oh, no, you don't understand. I've laid mine up in a bank account where they can't get to it. And the stock market don't affect it. And the price of the dollar or the price of gold don't affect it one iota. Best thing I ever did, best investment ever made, is the day I decided to follow Jesus. Have you decided to follow Jesus?